Welcome to Your Career Podcast, the podcast that helps to ensure your career success. To start getting on track with your career, download my free career goals calendar from thecareersacademy.online. My goals calendar includes a SMART goals template and a weekly tasks sheet that will ensure step by step you get closer to reaching your career goals. So download my goals calendar today at thecareersacademy.online. Now on with the show. Welcome to episode 197 of Your Career Podcast. Welcome to Your Career Podcast. How have you been? Are things progressing well for you in your career? Or if you're looking for a job, in your job search process? If you're feeling a little stuck and need some clarity in your career, whether you are a job seeker or you wish to progress in your role, I provide support and amazing value to you in the Careers Academy. For a very affordable monthly subscription, you will receive immediate access to a 30-minute one-on-one coaching session with me, my How to Write a Resume comprehensive online program, my LinkedIn for Career Success online program, and monthly group career coaching sessions, during which I answer your questions and provide career coaching on topics including job interview preparation, networking, negotiation, personal branding, and much, much more. Now, how much is your career worth to you? Visit www.thecareersacademy.online and join me. I'd love to see you there. Now, I'm delighted to introduce Paula Dunn to you. Paula is an accidental entrepreneur. She's an international award-winning speaker, organizational and leadership expert. We met at a networking event in Sydney a number of years ago and immediately hit it off because we found that we share common values, a strong desire to help others in their careers, building confidence, and developing resilience in others. With extensive experience in the medical and scientific industries, Paula has worked with leaders for some of the biggest brands in the world, such as Eli Lilly, Cochlear, and Johnson & Johnson. Paula's best known for helping young women and girls create confidence to conquer life, thus helping them thrive while making the right decisions for their future success. And let's welcome Paula to the show. Hi, Paula.
Hi, Jane. It's such a pleasure to be on your show today.
I'm delighted that you agreed to be interviewed because you are one of the most amazing women that I've met. You've had a fascinating career journey, and it was so lovely because when I first met you, you remember, at a Business in Heels event, thanks to the lovely Kim Wright, I was really struck by your love of life and all the things that you've been through in your career, and we just sort of hit it off right away, which is lovely. And then we realized we had all of these other things in common. You came to my LinkedIn local Sydney networking event that I co-host with Gillian Bullock. And also, we're going to talk about this later, the Key Person of Influence 40-Week Business Incubator, which is fascinating. And so let's kick us off with what I always love to find out. And Paula, you're such a talented lady, a leadership coach and a speaker, and there's a book coming soon, I'm sure. But let's find out, what were your early career aspirations when you were a little girl?
Well, I guess I've always liked all things medical. So I always had a passion for science. So it wasn't until I started high school that I actually found that I had a natural instinct towards science, and in particular in the latter years of high school into human biology. So I always, I guess in a sense, wanted to move into the medical field. As to how it was, I tried on different hats in terms of medicine, nursing, and I settled on medical research at the time.
And so that career path actually materialized, didn't it? Because you graduated, you must have done really well in the sciences as a teenager, and you know, through to year 12. And then was it difficult choosing which university to go to?
Not at all, because at the time I had an interest in biomedical science in particular. And again, it was still an interest in medicine as well. So I kind of found it was, it gave me the opportunity to do like a pre-med degree, which allowed me to apply for postgraduate medicine if I felt to apply down the track, but also gave me the tools necessary, which now in hindsight is great tools to have in this disruptive and agile workplace.
Yes, I know things change so often. And the reason why I ask is because so many people, especially, you know, young women, young men, you know, finishing high school, and you focus a lot on year 10, 11, 12 students as well, because that really is your area of expertise. So many are feeling a little bit of angst when they're thinking about their subjects. And then so often young people think, if I choose this particular degree, that's going to be it for the rest of my life. And what they don't realize is that, no, it's just the beginning, because you can take your degree, you're not locked into anything, you need some life experience, and then the world could be your oyster, yes, as it has been for you. Now, what happened after graduation?
Okay, when I graduated university, I got my first gig at Sydney University as a research assistant. So at the time, you know, the internet was fairly new, so a lot of career advice was given by the academics at the institution in which I studied. So at the time, it was very narrow-minded, so a lot of them kind of gave me reference to say that you could either go down the path of working in a lab in medical research or go work in the pharmaceutical industry as a drug rep. Now, at the time, I was studying a Master of Science, and knowing in my heart at the time that I'm not a salesperson, the thought of going around talking to doctors trying to sell medication scared the bejesus out of me. So I took the more conservative approach and moved into working in a lab in medical research at Sydney University.
And then you've had quite a lot of, like, I've got your very impressive bio here, and you've worked with some amazing companies, and including Johnson & Johnson, Eli Lilly, Cochlear, etc. How did your career progress from the early days?
Yeah, well, I guess I found, as we all did, we do a lot of trial and error. And that's all I knew at the time, was that I was groomed and into medical research working in a laboratory. But I found that it very tedious, very exhausting, and very isolating. And so I realized that I wanted to sort of work more with people than with in animal research and being isolated in the laboratory. So I ended up transitioning into clinical research and worked at various hospitals across Sydney. And that's when I started learning about the clinical research side, the pharmaceutical industry, that it was a lot more depth to it than just selling medication. And so that's when I started, doing a lot of my research in understanding what the next steps were in my career advancement. And for I'm always thinking about the next steps in what I do. So every decision that I make today is preparing me for tomorrow's career, if that makes sense. So that's how I've always been, and that's how I've always thought about things.
No, it makes a lot of sense. And too many people, when they think about their careers, there isn't that forward planning, and there's no strategy. And they get tapped on the shoulder saying, oh, here's this role. And you think, oh, that sounds pretty good. Oh, the money's all right, I'll take it. But there's no plan for the future. And very often you might start on a career path, and the way things turn out, you veer away from it. And 5 or 10 years later or 15 years later, suddenly people are unhappy and they think, oh, this isn't what I planned. But there was no plan in the first place.
Yeah.
Now, you made a big transition out of this clinical research. Over the years, things started to happen. I'd love to hear that story. And you transitioned into self-employment and entrepreneurship. So what were the triggers that made you think, this is what I'd rather be doing?
Yeah, I guess, as I mentioned earlier, I'm always 6 steps ahead of understanding where I would like to go in my career. And I was always passionate about leadership, even such as a junior junior in my role in the pharmaceutical industry, I had a lot of people within my team and across different departments coming to me for insights and advice, and which I gave freely and I loved to do because it made me feel good inside. And I had a few passing comments from some of my peers saying, you'd make a great manager. And that was the first time that I actually considered myself thinking, you think I'm worthy to become a leader? That's amazing, because before that, I never saw myself as a leader. I would never put my hand up. I always wanted to stay invisible. So that was one of the biggest mental challenges that I had to face and overcome. So then I started looking around me at all the people in leadership roles and going, okay, well, what qualities do they have? What characteristics, what attributes that I admire, what do they have in common in terms that I can role model and that I can emulate to be worthy to become a leader in corporate? So in essence, to your question, I never actually intended to ever leave the corporate world and start my own business. All I wanted to do was I knew in my heart that I wanted that I could make a bigger impact by moving into the leadership positions and influencing corporate culture in a positive way. So for me, that my intrinsic motivation wasn't about title, wasn't about income. It was about making a difference in my own way within corporate that would influence the culture and the teams around me so everyone could dream big and aspire and be a win-win situation. Mm. So that was my, I guess, my dream, my plan. So transitioning out of the corporate place wasn't something that I had intentionally done. It was more of a knee-jerk reaction due to some corporate bullying that was occurring as I was in leadership. So
That's an interesting topic. You know, it's interesting that you say before you didn't used to think of yourself as a leader and leadership, you know, people put leadership under a title and they think it means of all these different things. But really leadership, you were practicing self-leadership from a very early age through the decisions and the planning that you've been doing already. So those intrinsic leadership qualities were within you. And I think too many of us don't give ourselves enough credit for what we do have. And then we look at something else and it seems so far away and so aspirational that you wonder if you could get it, but obviously you had those skills already. Now, in the corporate environment, you said that you experienced some bullying, and how did that manifest itself?
Yeah, well, you know, we all go through various bits of bullying throughout our corporate lives, and you know, we can't get along well with everybody at times. So again, but I guess the most significant impact for me was back in 2016. So that was the turning point for me. And at the time I was studying life coaching and all these methodologies that I thought would be a useful tool to add to my tool belt as a leader. And so it gave me a lot of insights into who I am as a person, my values, my beliefs, what I stand for. And it wasn't until the first time in my life that I actually recognized that it wasn't the career that defined me. It was my values, and that's what prompted me as a catalyst to resign from my job and start No Limits Consulting. So in answer to your question regarding the bullying situation, I was being bullied because I was new to the company. I'd only been there about 3 months, and there was another manager of the same level who'd been at the company for 5 years. And I guess the problem that arose was that there was a threatening environment, and we had some really great, leaders from the US come out at the beginning of the year to discuss strategy for the company. And because I had worked for many of their competitors in the past and they were talking strategy, that's where the lights come on for me and the juices start flowing. So obviously I get enthusiastic. I start sharing my lessons learned and my opinions, and obviously the Americans really love that. And so as a result of that, I was gaining visibility and traction within the organization at such a short period of time. But what I noticed was that during the course of the events, the other manager in which I worked closely with, her behavior started to change. It was literally overnight. So we went from being a really great cohesive team where we'd go for coffees and talk about lots of things to where it was passive aggressive. So it was like ignoring me in a whole group situation, hiding information from me to make life more difficult, setting unrealistic expectations, you know, and deadlines when you know, trying to make me set me up for failure. And so what I did is I noticed this quite head on. So I approached our boss and told her that there was something not quite right in our working relationship. And I wanted to nip it in the bud because we were so small in our little team that, you know, any conflict would just cause more chaos. And so our boss decided to sit us in a room together to talk about how we, you know, if there was any issues that had arisen from that leadership strategy event. And, you know, I was ready to take ownership because I said to my boss, if there was something that I had unintentionally had said to her that offended her or upset her, you know, I'm truly and deeply sorry. And that would be my accountability to say, well, what can I do differently to change and modify my behavior? And that's fine. But unfortunately, from the little mediation that we had, the other colleague actually denied everything and pretended that nothing had happened. So it was quite disappointing and disheartening that she wasn't able to just voice her opinions and be honest with me, because I was willing to take that on board. So as a result of that, it continued, the passive aggressive continued for about 6-7 months, until one day it turned into a verbal assault. And so I was verbally assaulted by this manager. So everything that I was feeling like over the past 7 months, she actually articulated her disdain of me. And it was only purely because that I was gaining visibility with the leadership team. And so as a result of that incident, I left it for a few days to see what would occur. She continued to talk to me like as if nothing had happened. No apology was issued. So I thought, and I had done my research and asked various other employees who used to report to her directly if her behaviour was, well, if this was common, because if it's a one-off thing, then I understand and maybe we can talk about it. And obviously there was some past behaviour that was similar to this before. So being in senior leadership and being responsible for my team and the safety of my team and enforcing a really great collaborative culture, I decided to escalate to our boss and HR about the behaviour. So as a result of that, they conducted an investigation, and I put that in inverted commas, because I didn't hear anything for the past 6 weeks, what was happening, what was going on. So that increased my anxiety levels, and a lot of the time I ended up having to work from home because I just physically, it was just draining me because I wasn't being kept up to date what was happening, who was what was said, if anything was said. And then in the end, I was informed by our boss and hiring and HR that they just chalked it up to a conflict of interest, a conflict of management styles, and started to offer me to sit on the other side of the office away from all the leadership and management team to make me feel safe. When I had suggested that, why do I need to move? They were quite surprised that I was actually going to be resistant about moving and isolating myself from the rest of the team. And when I suggested about this particular manager to move, they weren't willing to move her except for one seat over and remain within the leadership team. So already I started seeing a disconnect in our relationship, my working in, you know, doing the right thing, standing up, having a voice, thinking I'm a leader, I want to do the right thing. I wasn't out to get her fired or anything like that. It was just a matter of, okay, if this is a behavior that's causing some triggers in her, let's do something where we can just, you know, resolve the problem. That was my intention. And so, you know, things that I had implemented new ways of doing things, streamlining efficiencies, which were quite welcome from our boss initially. She started retracting all of that. So again, everything I had started implementing over the past 7 months, she'd send me emails saying this is not part of our SOPs and so forth. So everything that I had done, it was like she was wiping out everything that I had improved for the benefit of the company. So yeah.
very difficult for you, didn't it? Because here you were trying to do the right thing, being innovative, being creative, being progressive, and as a result, getting noticed. And
yes,
so often when people have a problem with their manager, it's because they are so good at what they're doing. And the challenges come from the manager, him or herself, because they notice their own deficiencies. And it's a very natural human reaction to try and protect oneself. And for this particular manager, unfortunately, the protecting oneself was harming you, which is terribly unfair. However, it is so commonplace in many organizations. It's really important to be in a culture where you and the manager are on the same page with the same values.
I think so. I agree. And I guess that was a turning point for me because, you know, obviously in the past we've all had different challenges with different staff and employees. And the turning point for me was that it triggered me back to a time when I was 6 years old when I was getting bullied at school. And so that was my awakening. This particular incident woke me up to say, you know, being a leader in management, having earned my stripes to be there, to have that seat at the table, it reverted me back when I received that verbal assault, it reverted me back to that powerless six-year-old child at school.
And this is what happens because we have so many things that happen to us in our lives. And very often we all grow up and then we think, oh, it's fine, it's fine. And you never know what's going to trigger you as well. So being truly self-aware is so important because then you can deal with things as and when they happen. Now, when you're 6 years old, you're so young. But as you get a little bit older and you're a teenager, things happen then too because there could be bullying or feeling insecure or whatever it is. But I think this is where your work now with teenage children is so valuable because you've lived it and you understand, you know, what the challenges are. And I'm sure that whenever you do that valuable work, you know, because you work with year 10 girls in particular, yes, that really is your amazing niche. They must feel like, oh, Paula gets me. You know, you understand. And then because you've developed that rapport, then you're able to really do the amazing work that you do now. Tell me about your wonderful business, No Limits Consulting, okay? Because No Limits, the sky is not the limit, is it?
And no.
No matter what bad things may happen or negative things or things that hold you back, it is possible for us to overcome if we understand ourselves and understand the values that we truly bring to the world. And you've got so many amazing qualities that it's going to help so many people. So tell us a little bit about your business.
Yes, I called it No Limits Consulting because I always wanted to remember that despite all the adversity that I'd gone through in my life and all the limitations that people had bestowed on me because of how I was born with a birth defect and not being normal and special needs child, as they say these days, you know, there was a lot of misconceptions about whether I would thrive in life. So No Limits for me is allowing me the visibility, the forefront to say, no, I choose to have no limits regardless of what other people are saying. And then my three mantras are be you, have courage, and live life without limits. So for me, they're the three things that I embody and that I encompass within my business. So specifically how I work with girls in year 10, I chose year 10 because they need to have a sense of maturity and a sense of identity and starting to mold it. So getting at that age where they're sort of still impressionable and they're willing to take things on board, but they can still also critically think for themselves and start to see what works for them. So that's why I chose year 10. Plus, it's also where a lot of the students are starting to think more seriously about their careers, whether they want to venture into university. And I think getting them in year 11 and year 12 is a bit late because they're already starting to have that stress and anxiety of, you know, achieving and getting the results they need. So I think year 10 gives that sense of leeway, a bit of breathing space to say, okay, well, maybe I need to, you know, not only choose the subjects that I need and set myself up academically, but what about psychologically, you know. And I use various techniques such as I integrate science, my experience and 20 years of experience in leadership and positive psychology. And I integrate all that into my flagship program, which is a 10-week leadership course. Now, this course is designed to be part of the co-curriculum at a school. So it's delivered weekly, about 2 hours each week, workshop. So it allows the girls and each week to build upon the five key concepts that I believe is critical to developing a leadership mindset, or thus I call a limited edition leader, because we want girls to create confidence to conquer life in their own way. We don't want them to be mirror images of other people. So, and that's where the beauty of this program is all about. So it allows them to work on themselves on a weekly basis consistently to achieve the results that they want to achieve in their academic careers. And, yeah, and as a, and at the end of the course, they also receive a certificate, and they're able to showcase that certificate and the course for entry into university or employment. I mean, personally speaking, I have been a hiring manager in the past, and I would look very highly at students who have actually taken the initiative to study leadership as opposed to doing some extracurricular activity at school, because to me that shows that they're wanting to develop themselves and they're lifelong learners. So doing those types of deep work, which personal development is, and it's not for the faint-hearted, I would definitely take a look at those students more deeply.
I love that, limited edition leadership. What a fantastic title for the program as well. I love that.
Love it.
You're so passionate about what you do. You know, the thing is that, wouldn't you agree, when you know what your true calling is and what you're good at and what you're passionate at, isn't it easy to speak about it?
It is. I mean, I'm not scripted. And for me, like I said to you, there was a trigger when I was young, and being born with a birth defect and not fitting in with the mainstream idea of what a person looks like, I was bullied a lot. And I know that, and the thing that triggered me when I was 6 years old was I went to my primary school teacher and told her that I needed help, that I was being bullied. And instead of getting the support and the empathy and the compassion that I was searching for and the protection, she shamed me by pointing at the door and yelling at me, "Go away, don't tell tattletales." So from that moment on, I walked away feeling ashamed, humiliated about myself, the beliefs that I carried, which I didn't realise until that incident in 2016, that I felt that I was less than everyone else, that my truths were considered lies, and those in authority turned a blind eye. Mm. And that's what was something that I had carried my whole life. Mm. And on that one moment, and who knows, that teacher could have been having a bad day, you know, or she didn't know how to deal with it, so she wanted to sweep it under the carpet and just make it my problem. But the thing is, as adults, and what we're not aware of is that, you know, we may be having a bad day or something's going on. We say something inadvertently to a child, and they imprint that for the rest of their lives. And so I'm not coming in to take over teaching roles, teachers. I'm not coming over to take over parental roles. But they do say it takes a whole village to raise a child. And for somebody who's lived and experienced and gone through bullying and overcoming adversity and actually defying the odds of what people have said about me, you know, that is really great testament to the transformation that I can provide for other students. And it's a partnership. So I do a partnership between the student, the school, and the parents. So there's no isolation, and there's communication all around. So and coming from the fact that I'm not a teacher and I haven't, or a parent, so I'm not biased in either of those realms. I'm coming from the perspective of the teenager and what I would have liked to have had at their age. And I think that's where it resonates with them. And the feedback that I've received so far in some of my workshops with the girls, I mean, more recently I had Pimble's Ladies College, the girls have said to me, out of everybody that have come and presented and done lots of workshops on mental health and stress or whatever, they haven't seen the stuff that I've created for them. And they seem to find it more, you know, they're more vulnerable with me, they're more open for transformation. And, you know, and I said, as I said to them, I'm not about educating the masses in a big room. It's a matter of getting people in and creating those lasting changes in the long term.
And I think the reason why it's so impactful is that it comes from a genuine place as well.
Mm.
And when it comes to storytelling, people resonate with the real story. And when you're able to tell that, then that's where there's that little click and aha moment and you get them. And actually, when you're talking about the way that that teacher spoke to you when you were so young, it makes me realize the filters that we end up putting over ourselves and the way we view the world from the way other people communicate to us, because the meaning of communication is the response that you get. And that teacher actually failed in her communication to you because you were asking for help and you were shut down. And that would have created a filter over, is this world a safe place for me to express my views? And that makes it so difficult. And so how wonderful for you that you've been able to work on all of this and overcome it and then leverage that experience to be able to build your own brand as well. Because with branding, there are five aspects to your image. The hidden image is the number one and most important one. And that is filled with your own hopes and dreams and aspirations, past experiences, and how you have been treated, you know, when you were younger as well, and what your expectation is. So I'm so happy to hear that you've developed limited edition leadership, because it is going to make such a difference to so many. And, you know, congratulations on your business, Paula. And,
thank you.
I'm very impressed with everything that you've created for yourself, and I wish for you all the success in the world. And I can't wait to have you back on the show again, because you can tell me how the business grows. Now, where can people find you?
Okay. Well, I have a website, so just look up nolimitsconsulting.com.au. You can learn a little bit more about me, my programs, who I serve, how I can help you, and also you can click on to see any upcoming seminars, events and workshops.
Wonderful. Well, in my show notes on janejacksoncoach.com, I'll put the links to your website as well. So if you want to find out more about Paula Dunn, a very talented and inspiring lady, hop over to janejacksoncoach.com and you will find her. So thank you so much for your time today, Paula. It's been a real pleasure. And I'll see you at LinkedIn Local Sydney, or at Business in Heels, or at a KPI Dent event one day.
Thank you for having me. It's been wonderful.
If you enjoyed this podcast, look for Your Career Podcast on iTunes and leave a review. And for all the career management support you need to create your dream career, visit www.thecareersacademy online for immediate access to how to get a job and LinkedIn for career success and how to write a resume online programs. Plus, you get one-on-one coaching session with me and monthly group coaching calls. The link is in the show notes. It's time to take control of your career. If you enjoyed this episode of Your Career Podcast, I invite you to check out my career success program at thecareersacademy.online. The Career Success Program is the original program that uniquely provides 24/7 on-demand career support and fortnightly live career coaching sessions to keep you on track to reach your career goals. It is the essential resource for anyone who wants to manage their career effectively, make a career change, and land the job they'll love. Whether you're in exploration mode or seeking a new career direction and need help to make it a reality, the Career Success Program is for you. Not only do you get access to my step-by-step roadmap to navigate your career crossroads, my extensive training library and exclusive members-only discounts and tools, you'll also become part of my supportive community of professionals who will help you with feedback, encouragement, and advice. All this and more makes the Career Success Program the number one place to be for anyone looking to start, manage, and grow their career. Check it out and join me at thecareersacademy.online.